As it came through the gloom, this maddened creature, with its uncouth, hopping run, swinging its long arms from side to side. The man dropped back into his former position, feet raised, arm held ready to strike with the knife. Before it reached him, it dropped forward, without in the least pausing, and propelled by both arms and legs, shot in a great frog-like leap through the air. The shock, as it landed upon him, drove Ed Hardin's knees back against his chest. His right arm, held ready to strike with the knife, was pinned and twisted painfully. The knife slipped from his hand. A long arm shot forward, and talon-like fingers clutched his hair. With his legs doubled back as they were, once more he was seized in that giant embrace, and he felt that his knees were being pressed into his chest until it soon must crush in like a shattered eggshell. Then consciousness left him. When his senses slowly returned, he became aware of lights flashing and horses stamping and the sound of men's voices. Jonas Keel was speaking, and Ed had the rare experience of hearing himself discussed after he was thought to be dead. "Most on my bended knees to get him not to do it, but he said he wouldn't feel right to let death run loose unhindered long as he was living and with strength to fight. And when he rid out single-handed and alone, the bravest man what ever drawed breath was killed." From his position, he judged he had been placed on the grass at the side of the road. Near him was someone who, from an occasional quivering intake of breath, seems to have been sobbing. He tried to turn and see who it was, and he found that he could not so much as twitch a finger. He heard three new arrivals come up the road, a man on horseback and two runners, the two evidently holding by the rider's stirrup leathers. The rider, as soon as he drew up, said, "We come soon's we heard you all was gone to follow Ed. Arn's bringing the wagon. It'll be here directly. We Pass hit her a piece back, but Arn didn't get straight from Si when he come after the wagon. What hit was killed Ed. Oh, Ed!" Old Renzi Bucker, the Negro who had once been a sailor, speaking with the patois of foreign birth, replied to him. "Hit is Jonas, the child-minded Negar who was shanghaied from his mammy's shack down on the pont 10 years back. He had the mind of a child with the strength of 5 men, with his big wide shoulders and short neck, with the hump on his back and his arm hanging most to his ankles. He was gentle in them days, but the East Indy folk took him off, and they brought him back a beast. He from the schooner by his clothes, and they must have sought him on the swamp road at night to watch him kill. There he lies, dead. The stump gin which he struck when he pulled Mr. Ed Hardin from his hoss had a sliver which stuck most through him. Then when he fired with Mr. Ed, the hut must have killed him, because there is no other wound." The man beside Ed Hardin spoke, and Ed recognized him. "Alex," he said huskily. There was a cry of amazement. Alex called for a light. Someone else, evidently startled by the voice coming from what all had thought to be a dead man, started to run, kicked over a lantern, and was cursed roundly by the others, who were crowding up. When the wagon arrived, he was so far recovered that with the assistance of the others, he was able to clamber painfully in and sink to the blankets on the bottom, every joint in his body aching. The two Buntleys had called the younger men to one side, and they were whispering excitedly together. Presently, the riding horses all were tied at the side of the road, and when the wagon creaked its way homeward, Ed was accompanied only by Alex, who had refused to leave him, and by old Arner. Renzi had gone with the others. 2 days later, he was able to creep out to the front porch of Arner's little home and sit in the cool of the breeze that had swept up from the bayou. After a space of silence, he asked, "Arn, what'd them fellers do the other night? I can't get her peep out in them. They found right smart of stuff in boxes, what Renzi said was some sort of dope being unloaded from the schooner, but they throwed it in the water. I ain't interested in no dope, Arn. I say, what'd they do?" The leader of the gang confessed after he'd been questioned by Renzi, and when he saw the jig was up anyhow, they had sought Jonas to keep folks geared off the swamp road at night by killing whomsoever came there. They was going to get the truck and haul that stuff off somewheres. Well, what the boys do? Reflectively, Arner stroked his short, heavy beard. He spat into the yard. Then he turned to the deputy. "Ed," he said slowly, "you're coming down here and single-handed and alone hunting out the critter what was killing us off will be remembered and talked about in generations to come when these here swamps is cleared off and drained and producing corn and taters. But such a little matter as a schooner lying at the bottom of bayou gathering barnacles is soon forgot, unless you and me forget that part of it too.